Electrical fences, Arnold said. They're off, all over the island. You mean, that's right, Arnold said. The animals can get out now. Arnold lit a cigarette. Probably nothing will happen, but you never know. Muldoon started toward the door. I better drive out and bring in the people and those two land cruisers, he said, just in case. Muldoon quickly went downstairs to the garage. He wasn't really worried about the fences going down. Most of the dinosaurs had been in their paddocks for 9 months or more, and they had brushed up against the fences more than once, with notable results. Muldoon knew how quickly animals learn to avoid shock stimuli. You could train a laboratory pigeon with just 2 or 3 stimulation events. So it was unlikely the dinosaurs would now approach the fences. Muldoon was more concerned about what the people in the cars would do. He didn't want them getting out of the land cruisers, because once the power came back on, the cars would start moving again whether the people were inside them or not. They might be left behind. Of course, in the rain, it was unlikely they would leave the cars, but still, you never knew. He reached the garage and hurried toward the jeep. It was lucky, he thought, that he had had the foresight to put the launcher in it. He could start right out and be out there and... It was gone. What the hell? Muldoon stared at the empty parking space, astonished. The jeep was gone. What the hell was happening? Fourth iteration. Inevitably, underlying instabilities begin to appear. Ian Malcolm. The Main Road. Rain drummed loudly on the roof of the Land Cruiser. Tim felt the night vision goggles pressing heavily on his forehead. He reached for the knob near his ear and adjusted the intensity. There was a brief phosphorescent flare, and then, in shades of electronic green and black, he could see the Land Cruiser behind, with Dr. Grant and Dr. Malcolm inside. Neat. Dr. Grant was staring out the front windshield toward him. Tim saw him pick up the radio from the dash. There was a burst of static, and then he heard Dr. Grant's voice. Can you see us back here? Tim picked up the radio from Ed Regis. I see you. Everything all right? We're fine, Dr. Grant. Stay in the car. We will, don't worry. He clicked the radio off. Ed Regis snorted. It's pouring down rain. Of course we'll stay in the car, he muttered. Tim turned to look at the foliage at the side of the road. Through the goggles, the foliage was a bright electronic green, and beyond he could see sections of the green grid pattern of the fence. The Land Cruisers were stopped on the downslope of a hill, which must mean they were someplace near the Tyrannosaur area. It would be amazing to see a Tyrannosaur with these night vision goggles, a real thrill. Maybe the Tyrannosaur would come to the fence and look over at them. Tim wondered if its eyes would glow in the dark when he saw them. That would be neat. But he didn't see anything, and eventually he stopped looking. Everyone in the cars fell silent. The rain thrummed on the roof of the car, sheets of water streamed down over the sides of the windows. It was hard for Tim to see out, even with the goggles. How long have we been sitting here? Malcolm asked. I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes. I wonder what the problem is. Maybe a short circuit from the rain. But it happened before the rain really started. There was another silence. In a tense voice, Lex said, But there's no lightning, right? She had always been afraid of lightning, and she now sat nervously squeezing her leather mitt in her hands. Dr. Grant said, What was that? We didn't quite read that. Just my sister